Lord, we come to you today with some heavy hearts, as shared by Ron and Dottie, that their son-in-law Larry and his friend Andrew were in a bad accident yesterday or the day before. And unfortunately, Andrew has passed away. He has a wife and two sons, and for that family, we grieve with them. And now for Larry, he has multiple broken bones. He's been flown back to the U.S. for treatment, and their daughter is going to be there with him, be with them as they deal with all the multiple injuries that he had in this tragic accident. We also pray for Leanne, for her bad cough that's keeping her away today. She was in Florida for a week, and she came back with a bad cough. She'll be seeing the doctor, I believe, tomorrow. For those who are serving in our church with various gifts and ministries, we thank you, Lord, for all those who serve. We pray for the missionaries of the week, the anchored ministries, that their ministry would continue to be fruitful and blessed. We pray for Joyce, who has some health concerns, for Peggy, who has had some difficulties with a back condition that's kept her away for a while. We pray also for Phil, who will be having some much-needed bypass surgery sometime next week, that you would be with all those who care for him. For Darlene's daughter, who has some physical needs and is no longer able to drive, that you would help to deal with those things and help her to heal. For all the other things we bring before your throne of grace today, especially the ministry of the Word in our hearts through your Spirit, who indwells us and teaches us in the way of truth. In Jesus' name, amen. One down. Now. Well, good morning again. This is the subject that we looked at beginning last week, and we won't finish it, but we will get through most of the stuff today. It's a very, very wonderful, broad subject that you can continue studying on your own, hopefully, and like I did, find out different wonderful things from the Word. There's a bit of an introduction that I want to read that I don't have it up on the slide for you, so I'm sorry for those that will have trouble. So, patterns and observations in our lives. We see them, we observe them, and we wonder about them. Things that are just, that's interesting. Why is it like that? How do things occur? We see those things, and then our brain starts to think. Well, consider from the book of Proverbs how this can work. Very practical. I pass by the field of the sluggard, and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. And behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. I observed that. When I saw it, I reflected. I looked, and I received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber. A little of the folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber and your want like an armed man. Of all the different places of looking at things you observe and the practicality of it, this came to my mind. As we look at things and we see things and we realize, you know, these are connected. And when we do these studies, and you'll know I do that kind of analysis all the time, and there's patterns and there's things, and it's like, for me, that teaches me when things are repeated. This is organized. This is a mess. How did it get organized? Why did it become a mess? Those are things like that. Some other broad categories, we hear these phrases from 1 John, God is light. Message we have heard from him and announced to you that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. John is very direct. He's light, no darkness. But also in that wonderful epistle, God is love. The one who does not know God does not know love, for God is love. So here in this epistle are two simple yet profound things. And throughout the Bible, we'll see these things. Light and love, darkness and goodness and evil. We look for summary statements all the time. Last week, we looked at some of those when the teacher, what is the greatest commandment of all? And he answers them, well, the first is to love the Lord your God. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two stem the whole law and the prophets. So we observe that and we say there's a pattern there. Jesus tells us, he teaches us, that when things are broken down, you really get to a simple thing. The greatest and foremost commandment to love. And then he adds later in the Gospel of John, guess what? I give you a new commandment, that you love one another with a qualifier, even as I have loved you, just as I have loved you. It's even more broad, more specific, greater than the one to love your neighbor. Why is it? Well, we see through the Gospel of John, John tells us, what is love? God. Jesus is love. He shows us how it works. So we looked last week and we saw a category of one another's. We are sons and daughters. We are God's children, all of us. We are friends. We have fellowship with one another. We are of the household of God. We are brethren. We are of the household of faith. All in all, over around us, we're family. And we're connected. We looked at the first of four categories of one another's last week, to love one another. And to love one another, basically, we spent the whole day on that. Today, we'll look at the other three groups that I borrowed from that online place that I'll show you later here. The unity of one another and the humility of one another and the rest of one another. Those things we will cover. So let's begin. Second week of our study on wonderful subject regarding our special relationships with one another as believers. As I said last week, this is an area that has been on my to-do list for teaching for quite some time. When you look in the mirror, when I get up and I look in the mirror and I say, well, I'm not like that, what do I need? And he taps me on the shoulder, and after a while, I finally get the message. I need to look at this area. So over 10 years ago, our dear pastor ended up having a very serious medical condition with cancer. And as we were looking at filling in for him a little bit and not really taking his place, but I ended up discovering the book of Psalms. And guess who learned the most? None of you. You might have learned, but it was me that needed to hear. And the Lord says, you need to see about relationships. Your relationship to God and to others. And that's the book in the Bible that tells us how to relate to God. Openly, frankly. So this sometime, it's been on my to-do list for a while. And with the recent men's study in Philippians, my thoughts were drawn back again to teach in this area of doctrine. We considered the one another in each other focus from Philippians chapter 2. Of many other places in the Bible, but this is the one. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. A very well-balanced statement. It isn't that we don't care about ourselves, we just care more about them. Others. Now, as I mentioned, I think I have the most to learn, so walk with me as we learn together. I'm skipping some of this because it's quicker. The Upper Room Discourse. We saw the close relationship that Jesus had with his disciples, a friendship, a closeness that was unique. We saw in this section highlights where love and one another are mentioned multiple times. We repeated this from John 13, the new commandment. Love one another By this, all men will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. This is a testimony to the world. When they see us, they will say, what is going on? They're curious. They're observing. So like I observe things, the world will observe us and say, you know what? What makes you that way? You have love for one another. That's a testimony to the world. This is my commandment. You love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And a few days later, Jesus did that for them and for us. The greatest love, he gave his life. The love one another focus from John. Throughout the New Testament, we found over 60 times where we're commanded to do something for one another. It isn't a hint. It isn't a suggestion. These are commands. Love, care for, kind, generous, helpful, forgiving. We'll look at some of them. These are commands. They're not options. From the overviewbible.com site, they summarized into four groups. And this helps me to keep organized. But we looked at love one another. Today we'll look at the other three. As believers, we're given a very special relationship with one another. Again, repeated, because repeating is a good way to learn. We are sons and daughters, God's children, friends, fellowship with one another, household of God, brethren, household of faith. Now, do family members always get along? Do kids always get along? The parents always get along with the kids? No. There's some tension. There's some wrestling. But guess what? Families get along in a unique way, and they work through it. So we do these things to learn, and we are to get along. So it's not all wonderful good news. Sometimes we're told to do not, do not, do not, just not just the do all, but also the do not. Do not lie to one another. Do not be bitter. Do not envy. Those are all part of it, part of our learning together. We're called and commanded to the highest standard of care for one another. So here it is, unity of one another, about a third of them in the New Testament. So the first, live in peace with, has the idea of harmonious relationship in a friendliness. It isn't just getting along. It's a friendliness, harmonious. Consider this. From 1 Thessalonians, we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. Harmonious, friendliness of relationship, healthiness. This is a way to be healthy in a relationship. Second, be of the same mind with. Be like-minded. Share the same purpose. Romans 12, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Okay? Be like-minded. Share the same purpose. So then he gives specific examples. You know, do not be haughty. Associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Together, we think alike. We think together. Not the same, just like each other. You know, we have different ways and different methods, but it's like-mindedness. The same goal. Don't be haughty. Associate with the lowly. Don't be wise of your own estimation. Think like that together. Except. A single word, except is to welcome with genuine care, welcome favorably, welcome heartily. It's a wonderful thing. Genuine, favorable, heartily. Therefore, accept one another as Christ also has accepted us to the glory of God. He has welcomed us with genuine care, He has welcomed us favorably. He has welcomed us heartily. And we're to do that for one another. Wait for. Oh, patience. That's so hard to get on, right? Wait for. Ensure no one is left out to look out for with favorable reception. Oh, why are they late again? Do I got to wait again? All those different reasons for it. Well, consider this, and we'll look at this later today during our communion time. But wait for no one other. So, brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. This is a very serious thing that they were doing. They were abusing their relationships with each other, and as people were getting ready to celebrate the Lord's table and communion, people started jumping in and eating early and not waiting for everybody to show up. That's a broad subject, but to wait for, ensure they're not left out. Now, some negatives. Don't bite, don't devour, and don't consume. These are all related. Tearing down, backbiting, destroying, bringing to ruin. Don't. If you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. Guess what? You're going to bite the hand that feeds you here. That's the idea that came to mind. When you start doing that, so it's the story in Proverbs of a guy who's digging a pit to catch an animal and then he falls into it. You know? That's what it is here. You start biting and devouring, consuming. If we do that in here, guess what? It's going to come around and you're going to be bit. You're going to be consumed. And you're going to be destroyed. Together, you bring each other down. Also, don't boastfully challenge or envy. So this is, don't be arrogant. Don't be self-inflating. Oh my, am I great. Actively making angry. You go out of your way to rub it in, to do those kind of things. Resent the success of others. Well, why are they getting so much? Why don't I get some of that? That's the idea. Challenging and envying and resenting and arrogance. This ain't pretty stuff. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. The wonderful passage from Galatians 5. Connected with that are some good balances where he talks also about the wonderful fruit of the Spirit, which is contrasted with this. Arrogance, anger, resentment. Compare that to love, joy, peace, patience. Those things are in contrast. Gently, patiently tolerate. This is a calmness that is not easy to muster up, but you have to do it calmly, graciously, to maintain peace even when difficult. You know, sometimes it's hard, but you have to work at it. Somebody can be gentle and still truthful. Maintaining peace even when it's difficult. Boy, it's hard to get along with her. It's hard to get along with him. Ask the Lord, what can I do to maintain peace? With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another. In our relationships, this is healing. This is healthy. Gentle, patient tolerance. Be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving. The idea here is to be pleasant, to show empathy, to show compassion, graciously forgiving. Go beyond just, oh, it's okay. I really want to let you feel like you're forgiven. Gracious forgiveness. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as, and this is the just as part that tells us what's the model, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. When you consider how much he's forgiven, how should you do to others? You know, the story that Jesus gave is one of his parables about this guy that was owing somebody money, and he was forgiven by the debtor. And so then he goes out and he screws all of his friends and says, you know, you got to give me, give me, give me. And Jesus says, did you forget? Your debt was forgiven. You owed, and now you're going to get them. That's not the pattern that he wants here. He says, follow Christ's pattern. Kindness. While being reviled, he did not revile in return. This ain't easy. We'll find out later how to do this, but this is the model. Tender-hearted. Somebody that feels the pain of you. They feel it. When one suffers, we all suffer. That's what the body's like. Stub your toe once and think that your toe is the only part of your body that cared. You know? It stops you right in your tracks. Every part of you has full attention to that one toe that got stubbed. You know? That's what it's like when we should feel each other's pain. Tenderheartedness. Oh, so sorry that that happened to you. Bear with and forgive. Use ongoing endurance and patience and release grievances. To bear with is the idea to carry, to lift up, to support their burden and forgive them. Release the grievances. I've got this against you. I've got this against you. Release it. Let it go. Bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as, again, this is that just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Father, forgive them. Right there. That's just as. Father, forgive them. He's hanging there. He released his grievance. He was enduring with patience. And he took us with him to glory. Just as he forgave you, so also should you. Seek for good and don't repay evil for evil. Respond to harm with healing goodness and kindness. Don't just let it go, but give back. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but instead seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. It isn't just let it go, but it's do more. Do more. The coals on top of the head story from Romans. You know, when they're hurting you, give them goodness. Don't complain against. This carries the idea of don't gossip or hold bitterness. This is a dangerous area in some lives, but gossiping and bitterness. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. So don't do it. Don't speak against the law. Don't speak against a brother. Don't complain. Don't hold gossiping and bitterness and all this stuff. There's a passage in the book of Hebrews that talk about bitterness. It's called a root of bitterness, and it springs up. It digs in deep. Bitterness is hard to let go of. Don't even start holding on to it. Pull the weeds out before they take over your whole life. Don't let bitterness spring up in you because it's hard to get rid of. So unity of one another, live in peace with, be of the same mind with, accept, wait for, don't bite, devour, and consume. Also, don't boastfully challenge or envy. Gently, patiently tolerate. Be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving. Bear with and forgive. Seek good, don't complain against. That brings us together. Unity. Next, humility. Give preference to one another in honor. Actively value and respect others. Value their worth. They have worth. Give preference to them in honor. Consider this from the book of Romans. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Hold them up. Regard as more important than yourself. This is to esteem them with a higher value. Not that you don't have value, but their higher value. Raise them up, put them first. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. The great example of humility was Jesus himself, who made himself humble for us. Serve. We serve one another. I think I'm repeating this because you'll notice last week when it talked about love, it says through love serve one another. But this is the idea specifically of humility. We serve with energy, not just with duty, but with love. So consider this from the book of Galatians. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. We do that. We serve. We serve one another through the love that God has provided. We have great freedoms in Christ. We're not to abuse them. Don't be haughty. To be of the same mind. This carries a strong idea of being snobbish, uppity, self-important. A spirit of mutual love instead, unity and respect is to be there. So I look at what I've done. What I can do. They can't do much at all. Don't be haughty. Don't be puffed up, the idea there. Don't be, look at me, boy. Get attention to me. That's haughtiness. Snobbish. Snobbish might be an old word, but it's still a good one. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but instead associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. So here's a wonderful thing about the scriptures, because my brain always thinks of these. You know how there's a wonderful book called Proverbs with all these little sayings, right? And so a lot of them come to mind. So it's like a high wall in his own imagination, the book of Proverbs says. Okay? So he can imagine himself, oh, how great I am. And the book of Proverbs says it's just his imagination. You know? Don't be wise in your own estimation. You know, you're thinking more of yourself than you really are due. So don't be haughty and be of the same mind. Show mutual love and respect. Be subject to. A subject that is, that's kind of a play on words there. It's a subject that is very challenging for many of us. But this carries a wonderful idea. Voluntary service. Respecting and listening to and prioritize the needs of others first. To be subject to. You choose to put yourself under something. Someone. It's used a lot in the military term, but it is a broad category of putting yourself under. That's why the word voluntary is here. You put yourself under. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Christ has told me to love. I'm going to choose to do that by putting myself in your care. To serve you, respect and listen to. Put your needs first. Look out for your friends and your neighbors first. Clothe yourself in humility towards. Wrap yourself with a lowly mindset. So today everybody got dressed. They put on different clothes. They went in there and they looked in the cupboard. They looked in the places for shoes and socks and cap, all this stuff. And you're putting things on, okay? You're putting things. What did you choose to put on today? Did you put on humility when you got up this morning?
Did you look in your closet for the hanger that says, this has humility on it? Let me put that on today. That'd be a great picture to keep in your mind. Get a hanger, put a piece of paper on it, and put the word humility on it and say, yep, I need to put that on today. It's a practical suggestion. Maybe it doesn't work for you, but it might for me. So, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Now, there's two categories here. The younger men subject to the elders, but it's not just them. Also, all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Why? For God is opposed to the proud and gives grace to the humble. Now, I'm not the smartest cookie in the jar, but I'm not stupid. There is a benefit to being humble. He tells me right here, guess what? He gives grace to the humble. What would I rather get? Opposition or grace from God? That's not hard for me. Sometimes it's hard to put it on, but you know there's a benefit. He gives grace to the humble. Humility of one another. Give preference to one another in honor. Regard as more important. Serve one another. Don't be haughty. Be of the same mind. Be subject to and clothe yourselves in humility. And then the rest. They're not in any specific category, but they're just random things. And you'll see that they're coming up. First, do not judge. Do not put a stumbling block in a brother's way. So avoid critical, condemning attitudes. Put no obstacle or pitfall derailing their conscience. Don't cause the brother to be hurt. Avoid that. Go out of your way. When there's a caution sign there and says, you know, that's where you avoid it. Go somewhere else. Get your GPS out and say, where's a path that doesn't get me through that? Avoid the critical situation. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. You go out of your way. You don't go down this road. Do not judge this way. Now, there's places to judge, but in this way, the judgment is to put a stumbling block. You know, I know better than you, and you should be doing this because this and this and this and this, and your brother is stumbling because their conscience is telling them something else. We're warned in Romans strongly, the whole section, about dealing with others that don't think like we do in the Scriptures. Greet with a kiss. Now, my dear friend, this is our passage. Welcome. Communicate friendship. Now, this is a non-romantic first century practice for greeting, and it's still used in many cultures today. If you've ever been to Italy, and I've been there, you ever been to places where there's people out there doing this, all big, ugly-looking, you know, beef guys kissing each other on the cheek, you know, for greetings in the morning. I don't understand it. I wasn't comfortable with it, but after a while you're there and you say, well, that's the way they are. They're just being greeting. They're just being friendly. Now, others use a handshake or a hug, and we've kind of adopted that here. So if you really, really want to get this, you know, in this sense here, remember that it's the welcoming part of it, the greeting one another, that's the emphasis. The kiss is to communicate friendship. Consider this word here. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Greet, greet, greet. Over five times in the New Testament, something like this is talked about. The end of Romans, the end of 1 Corinthians, the end of 2 Corinthians, the end of Peter. I think there's also one in, there's like five of them, so I'm doing this from memory. But greeting one another. Consider this. To greet your friends, to salute, to greet is to salute with a greeting, a bid welcome, a wish well to receive joyfully. It was an open arms statement. The word there is basically an open arms, and in some cases it became a salute. I hope to see you shortly, and we will speak face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. Greet, 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 greet. Welcome. Wish them well. Receive them joyfully. Bear burdens. To bear is to carry the load, the griefs, the struggles, and offer practical support. That's what bearing burdens is. Can I help you with the package? Can I help you with this? Those are easy to see. What about when somebody's grieving in another way and you look at what's a practical way to help them? Can I bring you a meal? Can I help with this? I heard your something doesn't work. Can I help you fix it? Can I pray with you? All of those things to carry their load so they're not doing it alone. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. We've seen this fulfill the law also in a couple other places already. This is another one. This bear one another's burdens says it's to fulfill the law of Christ. That's because this is love. This is a sign of love, to bear their burdens. Speak truth to. Be sincere, honestly, with grace-oriented nurturing. Truth is essential to unity. So speaking the truth to one another in love is a phrase that comes to mind here, but also this one. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. We're family. We can be honest, but we can be gracious too. Well, the illustration here, I don't know when this was, probably 50 years ago, when we were in Guam. It's a long time, but it's a long time ago. There's a wonderful gal there who was a missionary, couple that we were there with, and I asked her about how to talk to somebody about a difficult thing, and she gave me this illustration, and I won't forget it. Now, this is a gal that had been a pageant queen. She was very, very, you know, very attractive lady, and she was very practical. She had two kids and her husband there as missionaries, and I asked her about how to talk to somebody when it's hard. And she says, well, this is the verse, speak the truth in love. So she took her hand out like this, and she says, if I touch your face with my hand, you're going to feel my hand on your face. And guess what? If my hand was in the sink and it's cold, you're going to feel, oh, that's cold. Or if it was, you're going to feel that right away. So she says, this is what you do. She went into the cupboard, and she took out a glove, and she put it on. Then she touched my face with the glove, in her hand in the glove. The glove was love. The truth was my hand. Put truth in love and touch them. Be gracious. Nurturing. Truth is truth, but how you say it matters. So speak honestly, yet caring. Also, don't lie. No falsehood, deception. Lying creates division. It breaks things apart. Don't lie to one another since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. You took that coat off. You put it away. Take off. Put it away. Put on the truth. Put away lying. Those pictures of putting things on and taking them off. You laid aside the old self. I don't carry that anymore. Stop lying. Comfort concerning the resurrection. Another wonderful one another passage. We are to actively support grieving Christians with hope that the dead in Christ will rise first and all will be with the Lord. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, this is a very important time in many people's lives. You've been at funerals, you've been with people that grieve, and you've been there. And what are the words that, well, I don't know what to say. You can be with Jesus with them. they're just gone first. Comfort them with those words. Encourage and build up. This is to be alongside, to comfort, to strengthen, to offer hope. You're paired up with them. The idea here is to be paired up, to be right alongside. Not in front, not in back, but right there together with them. Encourage. Hold their hand and walk with them. Build them up. That's the idea. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you are also doing. So keep doing it. Keep doing it. It doesn't get old. To comfort, to encourage, to build up, to strengthen and offer hope. Stimulate to love and good deeds. Strongly encourage with tangible effort and give mutual support to. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. So as a practical matter, think, what can I do for them to help them want to do something? You got to work at it. What do they like to do? What could I bring them into? How could I give them? I want to have tangible efforts, not just this theoretical, but let me figure out a way for them to be involved. Is there a project you're working on? Is there something else that they can help with? They may be wanting to help, but they don't know how. Work together to help them. Pray for one another. Lifting up fellow believers to God for spiritual support and mutual strengthening. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Pray for them. And it's effective. It accomplishes much. Be hospitable to. Cheerfully extend loving care and support. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. Oh, they're coming over again. And I got to cook the meal again. And they're always going to complain about what I cooked. And they're always going to complain about this. And they're always going to, you know, those kind of things are just natural. We do that all the time, you know. I got to clean the house when they come. Oh, they always like me to get rid of this, and they want me to move the basket, and they're going to always tell me I need to fix this or that. You know, that's the kind of thing that doesn't seem like it's very friendly, right? Well, that's how some people do hospitality. Well, I guess they can come over. Okay? What's that? Oh, it's so good they're coming over. I get a chance to do all kinds of new things that I haven't thought about before. Like cleaning my house. Or whatever, you know. I'm trying to be practical because it's really just simple. Be hospitable without complaining. You know? Well, I guess I'm going to do it. No, joyfully do it. Don't complain. So don't judge. Greet each other. Bear their burdens. Speak truth to them. Don't lie. Comfort concerning the resurrection. Encourage and build them up. Stimulate to love and good deeds. Pray for, be hospitable to without complaint. We haven't covered them all, but I got a good portion of the 60 in the last 2 weeks. It's a wonderful subject. Look for these patterns. Try to follow them in your life as a Christian. Consider how much has been done for you. Jesus says, just as I have. We're looking for an example. We've got him. And you look around the room and you've got a whole room full of other examples. Well, Lord, I don't know how to be that way. You look around this room. Somebody else here has figured it out. Ask them how they did it. Somebody that's good at hospitality, ask them for help. Somebody that seems to be able to share good news, ask them. Somebody who puts up with and bears the burdens of others, ask them how they do it. How did you do that? Where did you learn that? How can I learn from you? We learn from each other to grow in grace and to trust our Savior to bring us to completion. Now, you're going to have to skip with me because I'm going to skip down a couple pages here quick. I want to get down to this is the part. It's a little bit tricky because some of us are thinking about this. For such a list as this, how is it possible? How can we be enabled for this kind of fruit? What's the source for change like that in my life? And also, where does the power to live this way come from? For such as this, doesn't God know that I'm weak and powerless? Doesn't he know? You know, what's he expecting? He's expecting a lot, right? Well, consider this. What does the Bible say? He has said, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. You said your weakness? You're right. Guess what? Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, Paul says this, I am well content. Am I, David Beck, well content? Are you well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties? Why is that such a good place? He says it's important because when I am weak, then I am strong. It's like God told Gideon, you got too many people there. Send them home. I don't need that many because I just want witnesses. I don't want you to take credit. That's the idea. God's going to get the credit. We're just the witness. So this weak servant of his is saying, God, I'm glad because I'm weak. Because then the only power that's available is his. And he's the one that gets the credit. Well, look how good I did with God's help. That's not it. When I have no hope, he makes me strong. Now, the God of peace who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, will equip you in every good thing to do his will. Did you forget? You forgot about me? Wait a minute. He says everything to do his will. Working in that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Doxology. And all God's people say, amen. He's equipped you. Now may the God our and Father himself and Jesus our Lord direct our way to you. And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another, for all people, just as we also do for you, so that he may establish, not me, he will establish your hearts without blame and holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Guess what? You're weak. It doesn't matter because he's strong. He's there. He's equipping. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Well, how? For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God. God puts that in you. It will grow. He said it. He means it. Over and out, he says. It's enduring. He's not left you without something. For this reason, we constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. God has not given up on you. He's working to perform through you. Just believe. And then get out of the way and let him work. It's oversimplified, but that's it. He's going to just believe. I'll do the rest. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything, most things, some things, a little bit here, a little bit there. No, everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. He's got plenty of work to do in us, but he has infinite means. God has provided everything needed to bring us to completion. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Therefore, draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and grace and help in time of need. That's why we pray. Do you think God can do it for you? Jesus says, well, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe. Help me in my unbelief. How much belief did it take? Jesus says, that's enough. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Lord, I don't have enough faith. Then read the book. That's where it comes from. You think God can do it? Ask Abraham and Sarah. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Ask Job. I know you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Ask Jeremiah. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arms. Nothing is too difficult for you. Ask him again. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? Ask Zechariah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is too difficult in the sight of the remnant of this people in those days, would it also be too difficult in my sight? You can't do it, but I can. Ask Mary. Nothing will be impossible with God. Ask the disciples. And looking at Jesus, Jesus said to them, with people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. So let's grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Thank you for letting me go a little longer. Of course, you had really no